Transfiguration of our Lord, our first reaction may well have been a feeling of how remote this is from life as we in fact experience it, from this world as we know it. It's certainly a very mysterious story. The unearthly heavenly resonance of Jesus' face and garments, the appearance with him of Moses and Elijah to men long dead, the bright cloud which overshadows him, and the voice from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Here we're surely dealing with experiences of which we know little or nothing at all. All to do with unimaginable heavenly glory and seemingly nothing to do with humdrum reality, the life that is yours and mine. But if we were to see in this marvelous story nothing more than a brief glimpse of heavenly glory, we wouldn't have fully grasped what the Holy Writer is telling us. In his account of the Transfiguration, St. Luke informs us, "Behold, two men talked with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem." At once, the shadow of the cross is seen. They spoke of Jesus' departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah were themselves suffering servants of God in their day and generation. Just think of Moses' thankless task of leading that endlessly complaining, ungrateful, almost invariably disobedient throng through the 40 years' journey in the wilderness. Or think of Elijah, whose hard lot it was to be God's messenger in the worst of times. Be sure winning some signal victories, but also fleeing for his life from the wrath of Queen Jezebel, cowering in a cage, feeling very sorry for himself, the sparing of God's chosen yet disobedient people. I only am left," he says, "and they seek my life to take it away." So here we have two much suffering saints of the old covenant, and the shadow of Jesus' cross. Jesus' departure, which was soon to be accomplished in bloody reality at Jerusalem. What a strange sort of glory this is. What on earth are we to make of it? Three things, at least. The first thing to note is that our Lord's transfiguration isn't so remote from life as we might first imagine it to be, because it's not only a revelation of the glory Christ has with his Father from all eternity, it's also a revelation of his love. For Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. And so the love that brings the eternal Son of God down into this world, so that through his suffering we might be forgiven, cleansed, made whole, and in the end raised up from death, and made partakers with Christ of the life and joy everlasting. The second thing to notice is this: what happened to Christ also happens to us who have been baptized into his death. Christ's whole life was lived under the shadow of the cross. and as members of his body, you and I also live under the shadow of the cross of suffering, the daily struggle with sin, the cross of perhaps being thought strange, at times the cross of persecution, as so many Christians living in less favored lands experience every day. Growth in grace there can be, an increasing joy in Christ's forgiving love, an ever more confident hope in him there can be. But to think for one moment that we can approach perfection in this world is an alluring, but finally satanic delusion. The Transfiguration was a glimpse of the glorious kingdom to come, but only by way of the cross did our Lord come, glory of the resurrection. And as with Christ, so with us who are his. The third thing to notice is this, the connection between the Transfiguration of Jesus and the divine service of the Lord's Day. On the mountain of Transfiguration, the apostles Peter, James, and John, and the prophets Moses and Elijah are witnesses of Christ's glory. And in every divine service, we hear in the first reading from Holy Scripture the witness of the prophets, as we heard this morning, some words of Moses. And in the second, we hear the witness of the apostles, this morning the witness of Peter toward the end of his life. Then in the Gospel, we hear Christ himself speaking to us, finally worshiped with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, as Christ himself draws near to us in the sacrament of his body and blood, the pledge of our redemption, the medicine of immortality. Yes, like Peter, we too want to say, Lord, it is good that we are here. But also like Peter and James and John, we must then return to the realities of the world strengthened by the heavenly vision and heeding the voice which came from the bright cloud. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him, and hearing his voice, we can hear no other. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus and life everlasting. Amen. Let us now rise.